Well, if somebody were to ask you, are you a confident person? I don't know if you would answer that with great enthusiasm with a yes. And maybe if they would say, well, where's your confidence? You know, is your confidence placed in yourself, placed in some resource you have, or is your confidence and hope in God? That would put a whole different picture on it. And this passage here deals with God building strong confidence of hope in himself. When I was a young Christian, it was one of my favorite passages from Paul's letter, and still is. Probably, I'd say, a top 40 passage in the New Testament. If you look at different Bible studies, you know, eventually somebody's going to hit Romans 5, 1 through 5, and you come up onto the number of passages. Verse 8, you know, he at the right time, Christ gave his life for us. But don't miss verse 1. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice the verbs, have been justified, have been there. I have been to Washington, D.C. I have been to Irwin. Okay, past completed action. Have been justified, and we have peace. And so, in a way, in our soul, we've been to the promised land when we believe in Christ. We have peace with God that he gives us. We've been declared right with God. Might not feel like it, but he does the action on our behalf, and our hands are empty coming to him. And we have been made right in God's sight. Really a blessing. You think of how many people in your life are you right in their sight with? You know, maybe as you look in the mirror, you might not even say about yourself, I'm not even right with myself. But you get right with God. Loved by the Father is who you are. Great song sung by the three there. And so when you think about it, no more acts of judgment, acts, that is the chopping axe, waiting to fall on you. No more waiting for the other shoe to drop in your relationship with God. Have been justified. Okay? God looks at us just as if I'd never sinned. Through Jesus, holding our hand and our soul in his hand. Now this is through faith in Christ plus nothing, as Paul's been emphasizing here, and keeps doing it until about chapter 12 when he starts telling us what to do. So that's coming. Don't worry, there's plenty to do in Romans. And this is the good news of the finished work of Christ on the cross, something God did for us. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Good news to pass on to loved ones, to our own soul. This is the most secure relationship, the most certain relationship, and the most unconditional love relationship you're going to have anywhere. Have been justified by faith. You have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a gift the King gives, because he gave his life for us. Now, verse 2 says this, we stand in this grace. We rejoice that we stand in this grace, this gift that God gives. And say a word about that. Now, the gift, of course, is having been forgiven and justified by the judge of the living and the dead. Old preacher J. Vernon McGee used to say, the good news of Christ is what God has done. Man's religion, which falls short, is what men will do. Okay? So if you think about your walk with God, it is a very, very much about what God has done, is doing, will do. Certainly not what you and I can do on our own. We'd be helpless. We would be falling down on a regular basis. And we do. But we co-labor with God, saved by God alone, and cursed is the man who trusts in man, even in our Christian life, for sure. Cursed is the man who trusts in man, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, Jeremiah chapter 17. Think about if I would try to do you a favor this morning that you would not want or need. Would you rely on my good works to get you to heaven? I mean, I do a lot of good works. Would you rely on my prayer life to get you to heaven? I promise to pray for you every day. Would you rely on the prayers and good works of the whole Christian church throughout the world to get you to heaven. You'd say, there's something, not quite enough about that. Then change it. Would you rely on your good works to get you to heaven? How about the strength of your prayers to get you to heaven? Well, that would be a misplaced trust. But you rely on God, what He would do for you, to build that relationship, to give you peace. And He's glad to do it, very willing. Went to the cross and rose to do that. So you stand in the grace of God. Don't stand on your own self. Don't stand on your own strength or own growing faith. You know, that's why it's growing, because it's not as the way it should be. But stand in the grace of God so that when suffering and pain comes, which it does, God will build our character with that. I didn't want to talk too much this morning about the suffering and pain part, because, not to be facetious, but we're experts in the experience, at least, of suffering and pain, aren't we not? Perhaps not the way we respond all the time, but we're probably pretty good experts. You could write a book. And what suffering and pain can come to a soul and to a person. But God will produce character in us, and the character points us to something strong called hope. The hope that God builds into us. And the hope is a word repeated in the passage three times. So what God does for us, we have great hope. And the word, I wish Bible translators would have got a little stronger because of what the word hope means to us today. In Bible days, New Testament days, hope was a much stronger word than it is now. Now we say things like, I hope it doesn't rain for Children's Day. I hope I get a job. Let's hope for the best. Prepare for the worst. Okay? But in the Bible, in New Bible days, the word hope meant confident anticipation. And the confidence was in God. Confident anticipation. Almost, if you look later in the Bible, Paul uses the word certain or sure when he says, I hope, I have confidence. Okay, and our hope is in God. So if you can think of that, a Bible hope that God gives us, stronger than a human hope. It's not a hope so, it's a confidence in God hope. And expectation of the good would be another phrase. Okay? We rejoice in the expectation of the good and the glory of God. And 1 Timothy says this, Christ Jesus, our hope. And you think if it was said with today's language, it would be like, well, Jesus, I hope you're out there somewhere. And, you know, maybe you'll pay a little bit of attention to me. But Christ Jesus, our confident expectation of salvation. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not that, oh, maybe I'll go to heaven. Jesus is my Savior. I hope I do. Much stronger than that. And God wants us to say, I think He wants to give us as a gift confidence in Himself. That's what the Bible teaches. Just to share some of the obvious, perhaps, that in my personality is not a confident personality. Okay. Somewhere, not down the road, but let's say C minus with confidence. But because of the Lord, C plus. Okay. Or much better. Because he's worthy of being confident in. Should be an A there. But confident expectation. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the confident hope of being with God. And Romans 5:2 is very powerful. We rejoice in the confident, steadfast hope of the glory of God. So I want to give you five reasons for confident hope. And just a few testimonies from George Mueller, Charles Spurgeon. You and I can have confident hope because of all the love God has poured into our hearts. That's verse 5. It's a good, different translations in there helped us. One said, hope doesn't disappoint us, But a stronger translation is hope doesn't make us ashamed. Okay, we're not going to cower before God. We will bow because He's holy, but we won't cower with uncertainty. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our heart by the Holy Spirit. And when you think of the impact of that, how great that the power of God's love, like Niagara Falls, coming out of our soul to praise God back and also to love other people. You and I have much, much love to pass on. Okay, we're lovers of all humanity, as it were, towards Christ. And God's love is given to us, so we're thankful that we can love others. We have a healthy love of self, take care of God's temple, the Holy Spirit. And we have a healthy love of God, because God's love is there. You have all the love you need in your life through Christ. And it's good if God's people supplement that, you know. But it's not about all about you and I getting loved. It's about how much can we love. God's love poured out into our hearts. Great renewal in your life comes when you pass on the love of God that He has deposited in your soul. If you want to come alive in your Christian life, just be busy loving others with the love of Christ. All the great works of revival seem to be associated with prayer, getting back to the gospel, and then a massive amount of love poured out toward fellow believers and society in general. Okay, so you could continue to be a part of that. And then second reason to have confident hope, you have confident hope because of the suffering that we go through produces character. It's not in vain. It's not wasted. And we can't always see or understand the point of it all. I'd say about 70 to 80%, maybe higher, of the suffering we go through, we don't understand the why of it all. But we know the God of help and strength and comfort in the suffering. And so we're like an athlete getting stronger. Not because they thought, how much suffering can I endure so I get stronger? But we go with what our leader does in our lives and for us as we walk through hard times. An old author said God turns scars into stars. The book wasn't great, but the title was good. Okay. Suffering produces character. So we could have confidence in God in that. Third reason to have confidence, you could have confident hope because you're changed from glory into glory. That's a really good verse, 2 Corinthians. Talks about our progressive sanctification or God's work in our life. In some way, we are being more conformed to the image of Christ, whether we're falling down and really realizing our weakness or obeying, which is always more pleasant, and going to walk with God. Change from glory into glory till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Okay, that's the theme of this week. What do you think God has planned for you this week? You'll be changed from glory into glory. Sometimes it won't look like that, but that's what's going on in your soul. And God has the momentum in your life, and He isn't lazy about your daily walk. When we get lazy, God's not lazy. He keeps after us, brings conviction when needed, brings action when needed. So we're confident because we're changed glory into glory. And then fourth reason, we have confident hope because, a favorite verse, God will do more than we ask, think, or imagine. And you think about what you'd like to see happen to the building of God's kingdom, God will do more than we ask, think, or imagine. Taking that on. What the Lord would do to honor Himself. And Paul says that throughout the church that would happen. Okay. Ephesians 3:20. And for people around me and my own self, ask what you think God will do in small or significant ways. Just this morning we talked, you know, two ministries were mentioned that are newer ministries, Hope and Passion with the Revelation book, and then Shore Foundation. Saying that this is a way to love people. This afternoon, children's. And it doesn't have to be like a whole organized thing. It could be with the Christian brother or sister that you were at odds with for years. You found a fondness for them in your soul. That was more than you could ask or imagine. God did that. The person you've forgiven 1,000 times and you feel like you have to forgive them 1,001 because a little bit of pain is still there and they keep dumping on you. God will do more than you can ask or imagine in helping you being a forgiving Christian. So God has a big ideas, strong ideas, more than we think or know. So have confident hope in Him. And then the last reason I picked, you have confident hope, has to do with the future, because Jesus promises to get you to heaven. I am confident. It's the same word Paul uses for hope. Happens to be translated confidence in Philippians 1:6. I hope I did that study right. I am confident that God who began a good work in you will carry it to completion. Check it out if that's that same word. I think it is. And we'll correct it and be no problem next week. But I'm confident that God who began a good work in you will carry it to completion. In other words, He's going to make us to be what we're supposed to be and then take us to heaven. And in addition to that, He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's a reason for confident hope. When everybody else is walking out, God is walking in to your life. Doesn't have to walk in. He just reintroduces Himself. And two guys who experienced hope in the future and the present were George Mueller, Charles Spurgeon, two quick examples. George Mueller ran orphanages, just loved the Lord, and he was always out on the, you know, seeing God do what nobody thought God would do. He quotes in a devotional Psalm 43:5, put your hope in God, because the writer at that point is downcast. So he says, put your hope in God. And again, that's a confident hope. When things seem impossible, Mueller said, put your hand in God. I've seen God help people 10,000 different times in 10,000 different ways. God's help will come. And you could write a testimony book about that. And he said, went on to say, when things are bad, I pray, I keep trusting, I am patient. You're patient if you're a Christian. Patience is growing. And I have to say to myself, put your hope in God. Just quoting God's word there. Put your hope in God. Psalm 43. So we could do that when trials come. And then Charles Spurgeon, thinking of the finish line and confident hope in God, he says this, in the full assurance of faith, glorified souls in heaven are not more accepted than you. Now, that gave him confidence. It's a theme I mentioned last week. He repeats this in his preaching because the Bible seems to repeat that. The person who has the confident hope of heaven goes about his work with passion. Interesting, Spurgeon must have stole the title of the ministry over there. He uses the word hope of heaven and passion in the same sentence. Okay? The person who has the confident hope of heaven goes about his work with passion, determination. Therefore, our rest before the battle, our strength in the battle, and our rest after the battle comes because of the confident destination we have in heaven as a gift. You know, what I often say to loved ones, and I have to know them real well to say it, but I don't say it flippantly. Well, whatever happens, at least we know we're going to heaven. You know, might be pretty rough between now and then, but at least we're going to be with the Lord, and it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. So to have that confident hope in God, be confident in the Lord. He'll give you that in your soul, and you'll bless others. We, you know, because you and I, we live in a world where there's misplaced hope. and it results in brokenheartedness. But confidence in God will never disappoint, never be put to shame. A blessing from Him. Let's pray together. Lord, bless us as Your children with confident hope in You that You'd give us. Thank You that we have peace with You. We have been justified by faith through Jesus. So there's a strong, certain march from here to heaven that Your people we're in on, and we're glad. We stand in Your grace. So help us in the times of suffering, and thank You for that. Just that everlasting supply of Your love poured into our hearts by Your Holy Spirit. Might we not hoard You, but freely pass You on as You've freely given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.